We are forced by circumstances to wait until evening prayers before we are able to try for Anne's letter. Whilst the other girls gather their shawls and prayer books, we steal away and let ourselves into Nightwing's office. It's old and starched-looking, and much like the bustle at the back of Nightwing's dress, terribly out of fashion. "Let's be quick about it," I say. We open drawers, poking about for any sign of Anne's letter. I open a small wardrobe and peer inside. The shelves are lined with books. "When Love is True" by Miss Mabel Collins. "I Have Lived and Loved" by a Mrs. Forrester. "The Stronger Passion," "Trixie's Honour," "Blind Elsie's Crime," "A Glorious Gallop," "Won by Waiting." "You'll not believe what I just found," I say, giggling. "Romance novels, can you imagine?" "Gemma, really," Felicity chides from her lookout post at the door. "We've more important matters at hand." Shamed, I go to close the wardrobe when I notice a letter, but its postmark is from 1893. It is far too old to be Anne's letter. Still, the script is oddly familiar. I turn it over, and there's a broken wax seal with the impression of the crescent eye, so I slide the letter free of the envelope. There is no salutation of any kind. "You've ignored my warnings. If you persist in your plan, I shall expose you." "I found it!" Anne exults. Felicity's voice is panicked. "Someone's coming up the stairs," she calls. Hurriedly, I put everything back as it was and close the cabinet doors. Anne grabs her letter and we walk quickly down the hallway. At the baize door, Bridget greets us with a scowl. "You know you're not allowed here." "We thought we heard a noise," Felicity lies smoothly. "Yes, we were terribly frightened," Anne adds. Bridget glances down the hall with both suspicion and trepidation.
"I'll call for Mrs. Nightwing then and..."
"No," we all say as one. "No need for that," I say. "It was nothing but a hedgehog that had gotten in."
Bridget blanches. "Hedgehog? I'll get my broom. He'll not run amok in my house."
"That's the spirit, Bridget," I call after her. "I think it was a French hedgehog."
"A French hedgehog?" Felicity repeats with a bemused expression.
"Oui," I say. Anne clutches the letter to her chest. "We've got what we came for. Come on, I want to know my fate." A sliver of day remains as we hurry to the chapel, but the sun is falling below the horizon fast.
"What does it say?"
Felicity tries to steal a peek at Anne's letter, but she won't relinquish it just yet. "Anne!" Fee and I protest.
"All right, all right."
Anne passes it to us, and we grab it greedily from her hands. "Read it aloud. I should like to know that I'm not dreaming." "Dear Miss Washbrad," Fee and I begin in unison. Eyes shut, lips in a grin, Anne mouths every word. "I hope this letter finds you well. I have spoken to Mr. Katz, and he is disposed to offer you an appointment with him on Monday next at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I advise you not to be late, my dear, as nothing puts Mr. Katz in a darker mood than a lack of punctuality. I have recommended your talent. Your beauty speaks for itself. Yours affectionately, Lily Trimble."
"Oh, Anne, that's wonderful," I say, handing back the letter, which she tucks into her dress next to her heart.
"Yes, yes, it is, isn't it?" Anne's joy transforms her. She walks taller for this token of hope. Holding hands, we race for the chapel as the day slips free from its moorings and sinks below the land, leaving behind a fiery wake of pink.